Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chombe, and let us thank Helmut with the home run. This is a platform that we discuss global trade, economics, and we fix the fixable, and we leave what we cannot fix in the hands of those who can fix them. And here is where we interpret, analyze, simplify the critical matters so that an ordinary person can be able to understand and also can be able to follow, partake, and indeed benefit from that conversation. While most of you are on holiday, most of you are closing down in by Friday, and some of you also continue working. Particularly, we give salutation and respect to the men and women in the uniform. We speak about security guards, speak about police officers, speak about the protectors, immigration officials, speak about those who are protecting us, and also those who are defending the country. At night, there is somebody who have a sleepless night to make sure that we sleep peacefully, either those who are protecting us from what we cannot see, the security cluster, and indeed also those who are defending our country, particularly cyber-wise. We are greeting you, and from Business and Economic Segment today, like any other day, this is a platform where we engage in the discussion, particularly the current discussions, which matters, and also try to make sure that after every conversation, what lesson can we learn from this conversation? While you are under the tree with your family members having a cold beer, having a cold wine, or discussing about how 2025 has been, we are thanking you that you tune in to Eagle FM Namibia, your number one favorite radio station. And we are indicating to you that we continue to engage you. We continue to update you on what is really happening. What is really happening in the world? What is happening in Namibia? And also, how can we fix the fixable? And how can we allow those who have technical skills and those who have other skills also to fix what they can fix? Because at the end of the day, it's about how we collaborate on issues and also how we collaborate on things that, you know, Namibia is faced with, particularly on the ground of, you know, challenges, economy, social affairs, social ills, and also the inability of our country at this point in time to address some of the challenges and painful challenges that have been there for quite some time. So we see good wishes on social media about Christmas. We see good wishes. Everybody around the street is wishing everybody Merry Christmas, particularly that the Christmas is next week. And just like that, we're just in January. But just by the blink of an eye, we are already facing Christmas of 2025, and 2026 is not 1 month from now. It's not even 3 weeks. We are looking at it, and we are getting there. But what is necessary is beyond getting there, it's beyond celebration, and also to say, what can we do differently? Because we are growing older, we are growing older, but growing older must also be growing older with the wisdom, and that is why this is a platform to say, are we going to do in 2026 what we are going to do, what we have been doing in 2025? And also, I want you to ask yourself a question. When you are around, when you are at your house, your family members, with friends, with your former classmates, and with your wife, and your kids, when you are in a taxi, ask yourself, things around you, even things in your pocket, how many of those objects are made in Namibia? Ask yourself that question. The car you are driving, the suit you are wearing, the tie that you are putting on, the glass of wine that you are drinking, the wheat that was used to cook that beer, the juice that you are drinking. How many of those products are made in Namibia? The toothpick that we are using. And particularly at this point in time, you'll be shocked if we go and make a statistic to say they've been wending and, we are praising particularly those who are that side of Omtere, Parish. They are well, I think they are well mannered, ladies. And also that's why, if you look at the records and statistics of the weekend, you'll be able to understand that, we are those who are saying congratulations, majority, at Omtere Parish Church. And we must respect those parents who, bringing those, or brought about those kids who become wives. And let us wish the foundation of family is strengthened, because you cannot have a very beautiful, well-functioning country where the foundation of family is not strengthened. Let us celebrate even beyond, beyond the wedding, because, you know, a lot of people, and we see this. I was never married before, but I have good observation skills to say most of the people, particularly, our beautiful angels, ladies, they focus more on how their wedding dress is going to be, how my friends are going to look at me, that wedding, the wow picture. But that is a 2 seconds thing. You know that the wedding can be celebrated in 1 hour, 30 minutes, but that is lifetime commitment. Let us look beyond that, and also let us advise each other correctly. And before we go to the conversation for today, because we are trying to make sure that we are tailoring the conversation toward the current moment, and also to say those who got married, get right advices, and also let us not be bad friends. And it's within our society. Somebody made the right choice, got married, then you are outside giving advice which are not correct. You are destroying our economy, because when that person is depressed, when that person is going through that marriage challenge, he or she will not perform to the best of his or her ability in 2026. Make sure that you advise people correctly. And also make sure that when it comes to in-laws, in-laws must protect the new person who is brought into the family. And this is the only way we are going to do well. And it does mean that if you are not, you did not get a partner, it's a punishment. Life will continue, and we fix the fixable. That which we cannot fix, we let it in the hands of those who can fix it. Yeah, today, we are going to speak about tourism. We are going to speak about tourism. We are going to speak about Namibia, a beautiful country, which is a tourist destination of choice. And we are also going to look at how we have moved so far. We also move a little bit backward on referencing the statistics on tourism, particularly that was released, the 2024 statistics on tourism in Namibia, particularly that was released by the Minister of Environment, Forestry, and Tourism. That is Ndireni Daniel. And we're also going to look at the conversation which is linked to today's launch of a bureau, that is Namibia Convention Bureau, under Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board. It's a bureau which is launched and is currently operating within Investment Board with the aim of expanding it to an agency. But the fundamental aim is to assist in marketing Namibia tourism sector, assist in planning of international conferences, organizing, and make sure that Namibia attract tourism. And we're also going to poke questions too, to say how this institution is going to be effective looking at the future. And you want also your idea to say what is the effectiveness, how the effectiveness of this institution is going to be, and also looking ahead, how is the coherence in terms of institutions. Because at the end of the day, creativity and innovation should never be disencouraged, but the question of coherence of institution must be central, because those some of the discussions which scholars, governance practitioners, and leaders of Africa, they struggled with, particularly coherence of institution, strengthening of institution, and coordination of institutions. It's one of the things that, you know, we should look into. However, we also look at the speech of the head or the current manager of what is called NCB, that is Namibia Convention Bureau, and also to listen to say what is the functionality of this institution and how can it make Namibia a tourist attraction. You know, I'm always, I don't want to say I always think differently, but I am always asking myself when I attend a very beautiful conference, when I attend a press briefing, when I sleep in a five-star hotel, I'm always asking myself to say, man, some of these policies and great innovation, how should they contribute to the national project? And when we speak about the national project, we don't speak about advanced people. How should this contribute to somebody who is driving a taxi? There's a lot of things happening in Namibia, and a lot of people, we read the newspaper, we watch TV and all these things, but somebody may also want to know, if Jose Mourinho come back or any other international known people come to Namibia for tourism attraction, did somebody who is running a small business will even be given an opportunity to come closer to that person? Or is only the have who are surrounding that person? Is only entertained at conferences and entertained at the highest level? Would he experience with security too? Would he experience being in a taxi in Namibia, moving around Kadutura, not compromising his security because he's a well-known person? So he can experience the life of that Namibian. How should somebody selling at Stop and Shop in Windhoek, somebody selling at Open Market in Oshakati, who benefit from some of these things that we discuss? Because you'll be able to realize to say, when you start understanding society stratification, the stratas of society, the sections of society, you'll be able to understand that sometimes we may think we are speaking the same thing, but we are not correctly in order. We may think we are moving in the same direction, but it's only a track which the head is on this side, and the load which is being pulled is on the other side, or the trail is on the other side. We think we are in the same direction. Those are the conversation that we must expand. Before we go to the content of that that engagement, it's also quite crucial, it's very important also to look at some of the statistics, particularly looking at the tourism statistics report of 2024, which is indicating that that year of 2024, around 1.4, tourists visited Namibia. 1.4 tourists visited Namibia. Not 1.4K, 1.4 million visited Namibia, and with different reasons. But looking at the purpose, you'll be able to realize that the majority of those who are coming to Namibia, they are coming for holiday, where you have almost 50%, that is 47.5%, coming on holiday, 15.8% that is business, 31.1% visiting friends or relative, and 4.7% they come in transit, that is a pass-by. Maybe you are going to Botswana, you came with a boat or you came with a ship, you pass by, and you also maybe sleep in a Tosha, or sleep in Kamatapati, or sleep at the south, then you move to the destination of your place. That make Namibia a very beautiful place, and when you look at the recovery of the sector, particularly post-COVID-19, you will be able you will be able to understand that there is a remarkable increase, and we still a tourist destination of choice. Now, who is benefiting from this tourists who come into Namibia? Who is benefiting from these tourists who come into Namibia? How should we make sure that we don't only attract, we don't only host, but we make sure that those craftsmen who are sitting by the roads, they are given quality opportunity to partake, and not only to sell on peanuts, but to sell on what is needed, what they need, so that they can be satisfied. Because a craftsman in Namibia can make a lot of money, but most of them, they are selling their artworks for survival. But if you compare with other countries, Jamaica, UK, those are selling for life. And it's not only a luxury, but it's a good way of living. It's the same thing that you look at Namibian musician, the Namibian creative industry. Few of them, they are doing that as a full-time level, for full-time. Because why? Opportunities are rare. But where are the opportunities? Opportunities are here. But they need to be explored very well, very correctly. Those who are coming to Namibia with cash, with money, should be connected to those people, and not only to few. And yeah, before we go to that conversation, it's quite crucial to look at, when today the investment board and under the leadership of Mayor Nangula Waja and looking at the Minister of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, Ms. Indireni Daniel, when he launched today's bureau, including also the website. What were some of the conversation? But we'll take you to the speech of Esther Andirura, who's the manager for Namibia Convention Bureau, to say when she was giving this explanation, she was giving this content, what is that she meant, and also what are some of the key highlights of this institution, and also what is the differentiating factor from how others have been, and also what lesson can we learn, and moving forward, what is the operational mechanism of the institution, especially in coordinating activities of tourism, attracting investment in tourism sector, and also play a key role in event planning, not any other event, but international conferences that show Namibia not only beauty, but also how we can observe international standard and protocols. Ask yourself the question, how do you think a country like South Africa hosted the G20? How do you think South Africa hosted G20? There is no fear of load shedding. They sort out their load shedding issue. How do you think South Africa hosted G20? Because of the high level of organization, institutional capabilities, and also correct investment, particularly in their institution. You host powerful leaders. All 80% of global power in one room. How do you host that? They come with their security. They come with their additional staff. They come with their equipment, but you host them without any chaotic event happen. What code, what level, what standard, without any complaint. That is how you treat guests. Do we have that standard? Is this newly convention bureau going to be filling this gap, or is it going to be just like any other institution created at the strategic level? Because establishing an institution is a good thing. The effectiveness and the impact is the other thing, because those are the things that we need to look at. What are the data saying? What are the statistics saying? And also maybe to look at the importance of data to say maybe in 2026 when we are going to the, because I know this was a starter of the 8th administration. It was just a starter. Policy positioning, institutional arrangement, appointment of key players, local authority council and all this. Maybe the main course is in 2026. When we are going to the main course in 2026, when you are going to the main meal in 2026, how strong is our data management? How strong is our reporting management? Because I don't want to say I was very disappointed. I was just not feeling very well, especially when our DG was indicating to us, DG of National Planning said, no, we do not have, we wouldn't be able to say how many jobs were created. Maybe next time we would do better. It's not also good to blame. Maybe it's also could be some institution are not up to standard. But maybe next next year we would do better, because if you have a number to say 50,000 jobs or 500,000 jobs, you must be able to say if you are going, if you are driving between Ochivarongo and Okahanja, and you want to drive there for 30 minutes, you are driving a Benz E63, you must also be able to understand the geographical area. Then you must also be able to understand the speed that you are going to drive at. And you must also be able to track your progress too. When you understand the traffic too, and track the progress to say, at what rate, how am I moving? But if you are at 500,000 jobs, but you cannot say we created how many, maybe next year we will do better. Because it's not always good to blame, but maybe next year institutions are organized, because this was just a start. Maybe the main course will come. But let us look at Miss Esther Ndirula, what she has to say, especially when she was presenting today at the launch of the bureau, plus also it's a website, just part of the conversation.
Menangola highlighted earlier the impact in numbers of events. The one that we just wanted to highlight is the one that we recently had, that's the African HPOP summit that we held in October. Forgot the days, I think it was between the 28th and the 31st. Those are the service providers they utilize. And this was just 200, if I'm not mistaken, 200 delegates. In real time, I'm sure some of you can read the service providers that you know, the Namibian service providers, that is where we want to go. That talk back, the organizer asked for 200 items. And the owner of a tote bag is not the owner of the gel, of the gem, is not the owner of the moringa, is not the owner of the, I think that's shakalaka, is it? Chili? And the kiri. All of those are different service providers. And out of one, the smallest event that we hosted this year for that matter, as far as NIPD is concerned, they benefited from that event. And that is what we are talking about. Look at the merchandise and branding companies, Namibian companies, other services, communication, technology, photographers. That is the ecosystem of MICE. So it is so big that there's for travelers, there are certain icons that you've seen around the world, and you wonder how they came up. It's basically because of events that happened around the world. I don't want to say their name because I don't want to get in there, but we're just highlighting how the impact of MICE has on countries. I think the one that I can attest is the Awazal, and I think I should put it out there next time. The Awazal dome that was built because of the Dubai Expo in 2020. Yes. So every time when there are massive conferences or events that happen in various countries that have a huge impact on the country, they usually put in like a landmark. So those are some of the landmarks that a MICE event has provided in those destinations. I think I can rush through here. So Namibian Convention Bureau, we have highlighted the roles, which I highlighted earlier. The office is basically responsible for destination marketing, the exhibit strategy and action plan, coordinating the MICE visa, receiving and identifying MICE activities and bidding for MICE events, collaborating with the OMAS, the SOEs, and the private sector to secure hosting events, to players alliance in event planning and hospitality, support and advisory, as well as facilitate MICE training. Where our current sector is, we need a lot of capacity building, training, and collaboration. So you find that there are around 750 convention bureaus around the world, and 1,000 convention centers that are recognized as a convention center, because you need to meet a certain requirement to be called a convention center. And those are some of the brands that you find around the world. Leading South Africa in Africa, as far as Africa is concerned. South Africa is a convention bureau. And South Africa went as far as having a convention bureau for Durban, Joburg, Cape Town. And that's how serious they are with the MICE industry. Then you've got Singapore, Uganda, Monaco, the Cape, Rwanda. That's one that, but I'll dive into that in a bit. So what you see here is for some of us, we've been to the convention, the Cape Town Convention Center. It's currently sitting 1,500 delegates with 33 breakout rooms. South Africa is very, very intentional about MICE. And that's why you find them having more than one convention center. And I think they have at least five. More, three convention bureaus and five convention centers. That is South Africa. I think some of us have been in that for one reason or the other. And then Rwanda. I want to dwell on Rwanda because Rwanda is the case study that surprised all of us, because within a decade, this country was able to build their economy on MICE. And compared to a destination like Rwanda, and comparing it to Namibia as a destination, Namibia has so much more to offer. But it was just really intentionality as far as Rwanda is concerned. And the biggest takeaways that I took in their case study was, it had a strong governance leadership, clear policy direction, coordinated public-private sector action. And I think those are easy action points that we can do as a country. That is their convention center, seating 5,000 delegates. And that center is full year in, year out. And it's the marketing, Visit Rwanda, that you see everywhere. And they're very intentional about the sector that they also want to be known for, the health sector, the technology sector. I'm missing one. But I stood in awe because I was there earlier, lucky for me. I was there earlier this year, and they were training me on how to bid for events. And their case study is just out of the ordinary. And as a Namibian looking at the destination like that, because what? They provide experiences with, they're gorillas, right? Yes, that's it. And compared to us, imagine the amount of this that we can miss as far as experience is concerned. So I think that was really just my takeaway as far as this year is concerned. Those are just some of the convention cities around the world. The Singapore, the German conference, they called it with the Mesa, it's a center, and Dubai as well. That's just to highlight how other countries are doing, but the morality of the story is just, it's doable. Highlights for 2025. The MICE visa. I think that was the best thing that ever happened to the Convention Bureau, because yes. Thank you. I think that was the best thing that ever happened to the Namibia Convention Bureau, because it gave the Bureau a voice. Why? It's an incentive. No event planner wants to go through a lengthy process of MICE visa facilitation. You know how tedious that process can be. But thank you to our ministry. We agreed on simplifying a visa that is dedicated to delegates that are coming for either a meeting, an incentive, a conference, or an event. So this visa is really to position Namibia as a premier destination for MICE destination. So when we are going out there and promoting, come to Namibia for MICE. the first thing that we say is, we offer a nice visa. And we always get, really? So that's a really a good carrot, dangly carrot effect as far as an incentive is concerned. And it's so simplified compared to the previous steps that we had, as when anybody would come in for a visa. I'll go through the steps slowly, I mean right now. It enables smooth entries for international delegates, and it's fully digitalized. So we are currently going through a prototype. It's not yet launched, but we started in June, if I'm not mistaken, right? And so far, so good. And a few key problems that we need to sort out, but nothing hectic. So all you need to do is notify the bureau, okay? We want to come and have an event in Namibia. And then you write the details of your event, the number of people, the dates, the number of delegates. And then you need to submit a delegate list. That is a security, it's a security measure. Because Tom can come in and say, I'm here.
Yeah, we are moving forward. It's 40 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are moving forward with the conversation of Namibia, a tourist attraction destination, the launch of a bureau. You are listening to Miss Esther Ndirura, and you know, it's like Namibia, we have dreams, and you know, we are very strategic, and we know exactly where we want to go. Yeah, but you know, we must also be very clear and understand where we came from, what we do, and also the coordination of things. Now, the reality of the matter is not whether the agency is going to be successful or it's not going to be successful. The reality of the matter is, what is the direction of What is the direction of the country? What is the position? What is the posture of Namibia governance system? Because we must not be naive. And looking at this new initiatives and progress and the aim of agency, one may want to say, or may want to think, and they may want to advise, and also ask to say, question to say, maybe can we keep the Namibia Investment and Promotion Development Board? Could we maybe keep it when you look at this institution? But the president has been very clear in that position to say, is going to be integrated in the Ministry of International Relations and Trade. I don't want to push that agenda. I also don't want to oppose it. But I ask a question today regarding establishment of this institution within an institution, to say how many people are employed within that. But there is only a manager, and so far it's only one reporting to the director and also maybe the CEO. But there is a committee which is running that, and also advising, and it's between ministries. It's between Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism. So I have a lot of stakeholders. But in a situation where you have to integrate the board, where are you going to position it? Is a board, and it's quite very interesting also to say, and when you look at the posture of the institution, you must also be able to look at where it's placed, who is funding it, where is the capital coming from. I respect the works also, because it has done well, but is it strategically positioned in the changing governance toward the Vision 2030? Is it strategically positioned? Because it's a new agency incubated within an institution to be integrated soon, if what is stated is true, or if what is stated is going to be done. If while you are incubating, you happen to be directed somewhere, are you moving with this one, or you are giving it to the Ministry of Environment, or you are giving it to the MIRT? Because it's a fundamental question. But if you are strategic enough, we could be able to see beyond that, and also see to say, institution is not a problem. The problem is, how are we going to sustain institutions? How are we going to sustain it? Maybe we keep the board, which is good. But I'm not the one who is leading. I'm not the one who is pronouncing policy pronunciation. But the problem that has been stated, and we have been discussing about this, to say the problem, not only in Namibia, in Africa, the governance scholars are talking about institutional coherence. Maybe. How are we going to make sure that there is coordination and coherence of institutions? How are we going to make sure that there is no imbalance of power? How are we going to make sure that we don't castrate other institutions, if there is a word like that? We don't remove power from other institutions. Because at the end of the day, it's coordination. And distribution of duty is part of effectiveness too. But are we coordinating? Are we coordinating? Because I have asked a question to say, does it have a budget? But Menagora stated that I think it was get some money from, funded from the Minister of Environment. But that is where we are. That's where we are now. But that is not a problem. What is needed is the success. Because, you know, need to be looked at to say, when we are presenting, for example, reports of what Namibia have done, how many people travel to Namibia, tourism statistics, how many investment came into Namibia, then we are still asking a question to say, how did we empower Andonia, who is at the cattle post, with maybe technical skills to farm better? Because the ball can be played at the top level, but the guy who is on the ground is not getting anything. Those are the only questions that we need to ask ourselves. And maybe the discussion that we should be expanded is that, how much money did we lose in trying to get money? How much money did we lose in trying to get money? How many conferences did we host? How many trips did we take? How much money did we lose? You know, my grandfather was a hunter, and he told me that my great-great-father was also a hunter, and he's telling me to say, David, those years, if I shot a rabbit and I lost 5 arrows in that process, I will not be happy. Because the input, and that is the economy of a hunter, to say, you must be economic with your resources too. Because the input in achieving that goal, which is hunting a rabbit, should not be more than the outcome. But he indicated to me to say, if I use 5 arrows and I got a gazelle, a springbok, then that is a win for me. The same principle can also be applied to Namibia. To say we moved, we traveled, we go to COP 30, we negotiate, we go to COP 29, we go to Dubai, we go to UK, our kids at home are hungry, we go and discuss about what needs to be done, we go to Japan. We are using resources, but the question is that, is the outcome understandable? Can the outcome also be felt? Because we did not start traveling in the past 5 years. We started traveling 1990. Trips in and out to save Namibia. But is the input, are we using 20 arrows to kill a rabbit? Those are the questions that we need to ask to say, how much did we lose in trying to position ourselves? And what lesson have we learned from that? Those are the questions that we should continue expand and also ask ourselves, because it will be a generational failure if we are not calculating. It will be a generational failure if we are not calculating and if we are not focusing on our people. Because institution building is good. Building a convention center is a very good thing. But if you don't have a plan on how to deal with inequality, that money can still go. You can still lose it through cyber crime that we did not address yet. That money can still be lost through illicit financial flow that we did not address yet. That funds can still be lost through corruption if our institutions are not strengthened. So I think we need to continue asking that question. And yeah, I think today was the day of tourism. and the former Miss Namibia or Miss Namibia 2018. Soma Kamanya, one of the beauty queens also in that sector of tourism. And one of my colleagues attended an event today, and just to listen to our conversation with Francina Pavo, to say what was the aim of the conversation, what was the aim of the event today, particularly looking at tourism, and what were some of the achievement, looking at one of the event particularly, where Salma Kamanya, former Miss Namibia, was also playing a role in that tourism sector, particularly cultural tourism, and also, you know, engaging in selling Namibia beauty and also heritage to the world. Let us look at this conversation and move forward. Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. And just recently in the studio, I'm joined by my colleague, that is Francina Pavo. And she's going to engage us especially regarding the tourism attractions in Namibia, because today she attended an event particularly organized by the former Miss Namibia 2018, Salma Kamanya, and to speak about what really happened at that event and also what is the contribution of that event to Namibian tourism sector. Francina Pavo, good evening, and how are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you, David?
I'm well. How was your day today?
It was fine.
It was fine, eh? Mm-hmm. I can see. So let us look at the context of the event that you have attended today. Mm. What are some of the key highlights of the event? What was it really all about, if you have to highlight in that context?
Okay, so Miss Salma Kamanya, the Miss Namibia 2018, basically just had a press conference where she was telling us about the outcome of the GN1 tour that she recently had.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the future plans, what GN1 is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And GN1.
And to somebody who is listening on the radio, what is GN1? And is it a dancing club? Is it a company? Is it an institution? And how does it operate?
No, it's basically just an international platform, which she's the founder, where she actually just want to make Namibia more well-known across the globe, actually.
Okay. Mm. And what do they focus on?
They focus on, like, it's more of like a tourist platform, where she want to showcase Namibia's talent to the world.
Mm.
And to actually, she's right, now she wants to give Namibia out there.
To show it to the global map. Now you are a Namibian. Maybe just give me your experience. Have you ever traveled? Which place you can say it's a beautiful destination in Namibia, if you have to recommend it to somebody? You know, when we are in the holiday now, people are traveling. They are moving different areas such as the coast, the south, Etosha. To you, from your experience, which place in Namibia you think is a best tourist destination that you have enjoyed?
Okay, as for me, I would say maybe Rakana, like at the waterfall.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I've been there.
How many times?
Maybe 2-3 times.
You went there?
For a tour, school tour.
Oh, I wanted to ask, to say, is it a private visit or you went with a school tour?
It was a school tour.
Yeah, maybe also to come to the event that you have attended. Mm-hmm. Looking at that context, what other things that GN1 initiative has done to Namibia? How many people were attracted by GN1, and also what did it do to the Namibian economy?
G1 actually it's something which is new, which is actually it has provided job opportunities to the Namibian people, actually.
Mm. providing job opportunity, how many people were attracted by Gen 1?
Oh, so this it's not just attracting people in Namibia, right?
Okay.
It's attracting everyone, like, across the globe, in the world. So I would say it's a lot of people in the world.
Okay, what kind of people did GN1 attracted in Namibia? How many people traveled to Namibia based on that tower and initiative after now Miss Namibia 2018 has traveled the world and showcased Namibia? What was the end result of that? How many people showed up and traveled to Namibia, sleep in Namibian destination, and you know, what kind of people according to the event?
No, according to the event, she actually said she invited 19 people.
Okay.
She invited more than 19 people, but only 19 people were able to come from different countries and continent.
Mm.
So one of them was India.
Okay.
South Africa. There were actually a lot of people. So I would say now a lot of people would travel to Namibia from different countries and continent.
Mm-hmm. Now let us look at the festive season. What is your advice, especially to Namibians who are traveling this festive season? What are some of the things that you put in mind when you are traveling to a new town, when you are traveling to either east, to the coast, to the desert, to the lodge? What are some of the key things that the person should put in mind, particularly at this festive season?
As we have social media, right?
Yeah.
And people don't know Namibia.
Mm.
For those that are traveling, don't forget to showcase Namibia to the world.
Okay.
And post it on social media so that people see the beauty of Namibia, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And don't just keep it a secret.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's 55 minutes past the hour of 6. And you can engage us. We have around 5 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401, especially when you speak about Namibia being a financial destination. And one of the things that we must do is continue selling our country, not selling our country for money. Don't sell the country for money. You are already told by the big man, the founding father, to say never sell the country for money. The country is for the people, but sell it in the tourism sense, attract people, and also speak beautiful about your country. There are people who they have self-hate. You cannot tell me you wish you were born in UK. That should not be an argument. You must fix where you are. It will never happen. Because you must have, you first need to be proud of your country. You have to be proud of where you come from. And that is the only way that you are going to change it. You also need to be very proud of your village, very proud of your parents, no matter the situation. And that says a lot about your confidence too. And there are those who cannot tell people where they are coming from. Not necessarily because it's a bad place. They are not confident enough. It's happened with the country too. If you go to study in UK and you are telling people that, no, I was born in South Africa and I'm a black American. No, don't do that. Tell people your story. You might have a unique story. You might sell a beautiful story of Namibia. And if you have self-doubt and self-hate, that is a position, it's a posture you are taking. That's why we must be able to sell Namibia and be able to make sure that tourism as a main contributor to the GDP should also reach an ordinary person. And also to say to recycle, to give opportunities to others. And it's quite not good when there is a tourism event, give opportunity to those who did not get opportunity. There's a lot of young people in Namibia who can do better, who can win at an international platform, a lot of artists who can win at an international platform. Just because somebody has privilege closer to power, then is always there. But let us give opportunities to others so that they can be known to the world. Because if Namibia can attract Jose Mourinho to come to Namibia and rest, if it can attract Steven Seagal, if it can attract Will Smith, if it can attract Chinedu Ikenezi, Aki and Ukwa to come to Namibia, it's quite a very beautiful place. But let's give opportunity to others to come and also partake in those tourism attractions. Because if Aki come to Namibia, he come to Kapana, the small children at the village who watch Nigerian movie must be given an opportunity to come and see him. They must be given an opportunity to come and see him. Not only being surrounded by people who already have proximity, who can even travel to Nigeria and see him too. And that will bring us to the end of our conversation. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Umtuma team. And for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you tomorrow. Take care of yourself. Don't touch other people's people. Take care of yourself. Don't do what you don't want others to do to you. And sharp.